You Only Live 18 Times, Chapter 9, by Blue Draggy. When they were close to the beach, Rajira hopped off the Cat V3 and helped Gius haul the craft out of sight into some high dune cattails. Then they let Gius rest for some time before they walked over the dune behind it. The camp was visible just as they topped the dune, and they ducked low into the tall grass there, watching the movement of the people in the camp.
"Do you think you would recognize her?" Rajira asked Gius.
"Unless we see a female Argonian dressed in nothing but ropes, Rajira, I wouldn't," Gius said, trying not to embarrass her by pointing out the ridiculousness of the question.
"Oh yeah, sorry," she said, then spotted something. "There, an Altmer. See him?"
"I do, but I don't know what good watching from here will do."
"If we wait long enough, possibly their ship will come, but you're right. I think you should circle back and go into the jungle, then come out from there."
"Do you want me to enlist with him?"
Daramon spoke up then.
"I've got an idea. Tell them you'll consider it, but not till after you've talked with her. That'll give you an excuse for that long walk on the beach."
"Good plan. Sound good, Gius?"
"As good as anything I had in mind. You wait here. It'll take me a while to get through the jungle."
"We'll be watching. Should anything happen, just signal with a wave. I've got a pretty fair equalizer at my hip. Don't take any chances. You're not paid for dangerous work."
"You're telling me."
Gius backed down from the dune and left in the direction of the jungle. A few minutes later, they saw him emerge near the camp and begin talking with some other Argonians. He was taken farther into the camp and entered a tent where the Altmer had entered previously.
"I don't like it, Dar," Rajira said after he'd been inside for quite some time. "He couldn't signal from in there."
"Relax, Raj. He's not a rookie. I don't see any weapons on anyone down there. It doesn't look dangerous to me."
"I hope you're right."
An hour had passed, and Rajira was getting restless when two Argonians left the tent, and she was relieved to see that Gius was one of them. The two talked briefly, and then Gius left the way he'd come. She watched closely, but no one followed him. He came up behind them as the sun began to set, and they backed down to talk quietly, sitting in the sand.
"She's not there, but she had been. She's gone to the island."
"Any problems?"
"No, not at all. They had quite a few questions to ask me to see if I was qualified. I don't think they're interested in me, though. Sorry, I guess I'm not cut out to be a sailor. They would not send for her to come back and talk to me, but I think I convinced them that I'm just an old boyfriend who wanted to talk with her."
"Good, but I guess we'll have to remain here overnight. The cat isn't going to have enough power to reach the island till the morning, I expect. Any wildlife we need to be worried about?"
"Not on the beach. Mosquitoes don't bother me, and I assume they're not a problem for Khajiits."
"Only if I'm naked. Well, no fires or anything that would call attention to us either. I suggest we just hang out near here, but let's take turns watching the camp. Maybe something interesting will happen."
The other two agreed, and Daramon took the first shift, while Rajira and Gius made a very rough camp deep in the dune weeds. An hour later, they heard Dar's voice whisper,
"Two of them left the camp and are walking up the beach towards us. Do you think they know we're here?"
"I don't think so. Looks like they're just out for a nighttime stroll."
"Okay, let's just be quiet. Hopefully they won't notice us."
They heard the two talking in Jell in hushed tones, but Rajira couldn't make out what they were saying. She looked at Gius in the moonlight, but he shrugged. Daramon had gone back to watching the camp. The two passed by while they watched, crouching low, and then she saw them take their clothes off and enter the ocean, one male, one female. And then she knew what they were up to. Rajira estimated the moonlit skinny dip in the ocean must have taken an hour before they had gone silent. Then the unmistakable rhythmic slapping left no doubt what they were up to. Rajira looked at Gius, who covered his ears, and she stifled a giggle. Then finally silence returned, followed by a few splashes in the ocean and some wind-borne whispers as they came running back. After they were well past, Gius whispered,
"She says they're going to be late. Apparently something is happening at the camp shortly."
"Let's go see," she said,
and quietly crept back to where Daramon waited.
"What's happened?"
he asked.
"Nothing. A couple of lovers," Rajira explained. "But they said something about being late. Sounds like something's going to happen at the camp."
They turned back to look at the camp. Indeed, a line of Argonians had formed loosely near the beach.
Look,
Tarmon whispered.
What? I don't see anything, Gius asked.
No,
Daruman said, pointing towards the ocean beyond with his head.
Out to the sea. Do you see it? A light. I see it now. Hard to make out with the campfire. A ship? Damn weird ship if it is. Notice how it flickers with the waves? It's underwater.
What the hell? Rajira said, squinting to try and make out what was causing the light.
They're taking off their clothes, Gius said.
Sure enough, every one of the Argonians in the line were disrobing and stuffing their clothes into some sort of bag that they had strapped around themselves. Then they began filing into the ocean, one by one. When they were done, a few Argonians stepped out of the water and into the camp, where the ones that had stayed behind handed them towels.
Different Argonians. None of those that went in had the head feathers that one does.
Some sort of underwater shuttle to the island? Maybe,
Daruman said.
I want to see what that light does.
Some 10 minutes later, the light began to fade, then disappeared.
Not just the shuttle,
Daruman said.
Did you notice the light veered off to the left before it faded? Whatever caused the light turned. No one would bother with that if it was just a shuttle. They'd just leave the orientation the same and go backwards. Whatever it was, it's navigable.
Rajira's eyes grew wide.
An underwater ship. That's what I think,
Daruman agreed.
And it's destroying the Hammerfell and Imperial ships when they pass near,
she went on to conjecture.
Daruman nodded in the moonlight, and Rajira looked up at Gius.
Gius, I don't think you can help us here anymore. Can you work your way back to the city on your own?
I can, but I doubt you can do much good on your own. They must have 100 Argonians working for them, and who knows how many Ultmer with their magic.
We can do what we can do, but you don't want to be involved in this. We've got to destroy that ship, she said resolutely.
You will kill Argonians, he said. It wasn't a question, just a fact.
Undoubtedly, she said.
Kill as few as possible. Remember, this is just a job to them. I have an idea. No promises, but I think I can raise a little army of my own. If I can, I'll be back with help as soon as possible. 2 days.
If you really think so, we could sure use the help,
Daruman suggested.
I think so. We don't much like foreigners on our soil, as you know. That the Ultmer have taken the island is one thing, but when I explain what they're using it for, the Argonians will be ready to fight back. They do not want to become embroiled in an international incident. So far we've managed out of sight, out of mind, to the politics of other races. This would bring focus on Argonia that we do not want. Yes, we will fight for this. But Rajira, we will not look kindly on murdered Argonians either. Please limit the bloodshed if you can.
I can't promise, Gius. My orders are clear, but I'll do the best I can.
At that, Gius stood up and the other two followed him back to the Cat V3. He pulled on his backpack.
Good luck, Gius,
Rajira said before he left, and he shook her hand.
Sorry, Gius, she said. We Khajiits are much more tactile than that, and she hugged him strongly, which he returned after a moment. No hugs here, big guy, said Daruman, but you have my best wishes.
And you mind, little cat,
Gius said, bending down to pet Daruman's head, which the cat accepted with good grace. Then the Argonian turned and started to jog back down the beach towards the jungle.
Going into the Black Marsh jungles at night,
Rajira thought aloud. Probably pretty good odds he just dies by snake bite.
Well, this is their native land,
Daruman said, watching the dark figure recede into the darker blackness of the jungle.
I assume he knows what he's doing.
I hope so, too. Well, I guess there's not much need to watch the camp anymore. As long as we stay out of sight of the beach, we should be good. But it's getting cooler, and that sea breeze isn't helping.
Aw, are you going to pull your regular clothes back on? I really like that bikini.
It's wet. Now turn around, Rajira commanded.
Damn, I really screwed up when I told you that during your bath, didn't I?
He said obediently, doing as she said while she changed.
You could say you let the cat out of the bag. Oh, really?
Daruman complained.
Did you have to go there?
All done, she said as she closed the last button, and set her bikini on the Cat V3 to dry overnight. She lay down beside the machine in the tall grass, and Daramon snuggled up to her belly.
Got any ideas how we're going to destroy an underwater ship guarded by 100 Argonians and who knows how many Ultmer wielding magic?
He asked. She stroked the cat.
Not a clue. But you're the smart one. I'm sure you'll think of something overnight. I'm already thinking of something,
he complained.
Though it's not a plan for fighting. Damn Alfeek body anyway.
Now, that won't help you get to sleep, she said, and wrapped her other arm around him. She felt his paws start to knead her fur, and she began to sing a lullaby, quiet and low over the sound of the wind blowing over the tops of the tall grass above their heads. She looked at the stars overhead, and Daramon followed her lead.
Every day could be your last, she said. Appreciate life while you have it, because one day it will be your last. Well, that's a comforting thought,
Daramon said, craning his head up to look at her.
What great philosopher said that?
She looked back down at him. My mother, she said, and began the quiet tune again.
I'm not a baby,
he said, though she noticed his voice had a bit of a sleepy quality to it.
Hush, she said with a smile. Sleep now. We've got a long day ahead of us tomorrow.